6.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
The aftermath of every social revolution brings about change. Cultural norms and landmarks shift as our minds and hearts expand beyond the familiar. To everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose in the land of the living. This is our time to renew, revive, and restore the hope lost to the busyness of life. This is our time to dig again and rebuild from the storms of our past on a solid footing that holds. Welcome to The Foundation.
The Foundation.
The Foundation with Hart Grant is brought to you by Burger King, Commonwealth Bank, Rev Bahamas, Ross Electric Motors, and Wendy's.
Foundation. Foundation. Oh, it's the foundation. Foundation. Oh, it's the foundation. Foundation. Oh.
It's the foundation that's rocking the nation. Howard Grant's the host, Guardian Radio Station 96.9, 12 to 2 is the time. You can call the show or use the text line. Yeah, he educates, he informs. He goes against the norm. He's really got that zeal. Plus, he's a child of God.
Foundation, it's the foundation. Foundation, it's the foundation.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. 96.9 FM radio, Howard Grant and your company, The Foundation, on this beautiful Wednesday, June 21st. Howard, where are you? Are you here today? Calm down. Howard's right here, live and in full effect, really being able to chomp it down today. I had a beautiful day yesterday. Today is the first day of summer. The longest day, historically, theoretically, the longest day. That we're here, we're going to be able to enjoy this particular day. I don't know whether or not this should be interchanged between today and yesterday. Yesterday was the longest day ever. You need to stop. I was exhausted with a queue. I mean, it was too much. But I'm grateful, ladies and gentlemen, if you didn't know, you listened to a recording yesterday with Pierre DePuccia. I got a couple texts. Yeah, it was a recording. If you want to be able to listen back, it was on April 24th. GuardianTalkRadio.com, GuardianTalkRadio.com. You can be able to pick that information up and find out exactly what's what. I have a lot of shows in the reservoir, right? But I still really be I'm pursuing more and more and more and more information, because I know sometimes in this posture that we're in nationally, there's sort of this insatiable desire, this unquenchable desire for more and more relative, honest, transparent information that can be able to yield or move us towards transparency, national growth and development, and being able to see a true sense of productivity thereafter. So, you know, we continue to be able to run after those things and make those things happen. My guest is taking all these pictures. He needs to stop. Everyone could hear you taking pictures of it. This is wild, right? So I just want to be able to do that. My guest is sitting in the studio with me. I have a very good, decent man. He's in here. He's always, he come with his hand swinging again, right? He said to me, Howard, I got something for you, but I ain't gonna fight him. We can talk about that later, right? So we're always running after this information. We're always running after the next concept, idea, theory, conspiracy theory, to be able to layer some of our beliefs on. And whilst we're good having those conversations, I think it's important that we be able to yield transparency in that. So make sure you pick up your newspaper. Guardian, The Guardian, the Nassau Guardian, it's available as one. Today's midday, so you can be able to pick it up. NIB rate will raise every 2 years. The Reuters says the rate will raise by 1.5% for the foreseeable future. More information's in the paper today. You can be able to pick it up. It says that Sears BPO gets high marks for supplying power to Cruiseport's new U.S. embassy. It says a bad deal doesn't mean it's a bad port. This is between Obi Wilchcombe in this capacity, well, in his former position as Minister of Tourism, and Iram Lewis in his position as a Member of Parliament from Central Grand Bahama, being able to talk about the port. You can see that there, the AG talks about the passport application protocol being finalized after recent citizenship ruling. And I want to touch a few things, but before I go into that, I want to be able to introduce you to my guest. Now, you've heard him here before. You've heard him all over the country. He's probably somewhere in your phone with some significant captions to talk about national growth and development from one perspective or the other. I know that a lot of persons send me that clip when he started to talk about Monster and what's happened after the Monster. Talk to me. But he's always been able to give us relevant, significant information about national growth and development with a true sense of transparency. I want to introduce you and reintroduce you to none other than my very good friend, Garth Roseborough. Garth, my brother, it is wonderful to have you in the studio with me once again.
Well, it's good to be here, Howard, and no matter how often I'm here, taking a photo of you, I have to, you know, because I don't know which side is your good side, but each side just has its own appeal.
It's just a blur. It goes into one side from another, sir. Always my good side.
It's always good to be in your, it's always good to be in your presence, so I don't want the people to believe that, because I know you, that you're still not celebratory. You know, I celebrate each day with you. It's a blessing to be here, and I'm so good and great to feel that a person of your youth, of your stature, family man, good husband. I see your children adore you. Your son can't wait to drive your truck. Oh, he loves that truck.
You need to stop. You
stay there. He's going to take that truck one day from you.
I probably give
and
it
you
to
won't even know when he picks up the first girlfriend. So if he doesn't have one already.
The first girlfriend.
Oh, he has one already.
God, I didn't have no bunch of girlfriends, you know.
You didn't have no bunch of girlfriends?
No, I had a little puppy lover like a couple of gals in school.
With nice hair and pretty eyes. The girls always like those guys in high school, man.
They don't tell me. Well, okay. I don't know whether or not this is tradition of 8 Mile Rock or this is just how it happens. But I'm a married man. Happily married man. Uh-huh. Well into my married years. And I have old school friends and whatnot. How would I used to like you when I was in school? You know, girl, if you don't stop it right now, in Jesus' name, get from around me. Man. You know why? Because when I was never, how can I structure this? I was never relationship oriented. I was always the flirt. I was always cutting up. I was always talking to girls and whatnot. Sex was never a thing for me. It was never, because I had some friends who was, boy, yeah, boy, 16 years old, they haven't talking about sex, right? That was never me. It was always this, all right, how do I maintain this grade? How do I prepare myself for the next? I was always oriented with how to do my work. Now, I didn't tell you I was the best at this stuff, but I knew that this was my focus. Wow. I was in Key Club. I was in Cadet. I was in JA. I was in, so this is where my time was occupied.
You were a good son.
Right. And I was the CYM president, Christian Youth Movement in my church, right? And I was the class president for 8 Mile Rock High School, class of 99. So I was busy. Now, that didn't mean I didn't cut up, but my eyes was on one girl.
One?
Only one.
Well, you could write a book.
But this is the type of fella that I am. I come from this environment. I never was looking for no bunch of girlfriends. If I introduce you to my grandmother, we get married, baby.
What?
That's just what it is. I had one cousin who was every week, he introduced a new girl to Grammy. Every week he introduced a new woman to Grammy. Grammy said, well, Jesus, baby, who this? This ain't the same one I see last week. He said, hold on, Grammy. That's how he got his, kicks and tricks. Talk to me. Right?
Well, I guess he found out some couldn't cook, some couldn't clean, some didn't brush their teeth. So he figured he got to change out until he find the right one.
But every week. Every 7 days, it was a new one. 21 days didn't pass without him introducing Grammy to a new thing, right? But I say that to say, I'm hoping that my son takes that sort of a course and understand that relationships are important. Well, of course, there was a few, you know,
if he doesn't, friends. If he doesn't, are you willing to forgive him?
Forgive him for what?
Because I'm just be very straight. Could I be very straight?
Talk to me. I want you to be straight, sir.
I don't have any kids. Mm-hmm. But if I had a son, mm-hmm. and my son had a premarital situation mm-hmm. to where it produced a life, as much as society may want me to pull him aside and scold him, I'm going to say, boy, you did good. I mean, I'm just happy to know that you did good. Why I say that is because When my own mother found my brother with a young lady in the bedroom, she was so upset. She was livid for 2 hours straight. And I pulled her aside and I asked God to give me the wisdom to speak to my mother, because I'm the oldest child.
Single mother?
My mother, my own mother.
Single mother?
No, married. Good husband, okay. My mm-hmm. good husband. I said to my mother, you know, Mom, I understand how you feel that you didn't raise us to be like this. But I will say one thing in favor of my brother. This is me defending my brother. I said, I'm just so grateful, as I'm sure you are as well, that you did not find him in bed with another man. And she said, oh, Jesus, my good son. Now, that may be biased, because there are some people who are gay, there are some people who are transgender, there are some people who are queer. There are some people who have their own sexual preferences. But from the family that I grew up in, this was the moral compass. This was the moral standing. This is what was expected, that one day we would grow up and marry a woman as a male child. And so, of course, my mother was like, oh, my good son. She hugged him. She embraced him. She loved him. Now, a daughter on the other side, have mercy, God. That's war. That's just the way we men are. Now, am I right or am I wrong? I just want to hear from you.
This is a society that's structured, the way that our society is actually structured. Now, I'm going to be very honest with you. I have always, and I got to introduce you to my next guest who just walked into the studio, but I want to say very clearly that I have no kind of fear about that.
You have no fear?
About...
Because you are a good, decent man.
And I show my children that every day.
And if your children...
I never show them perfection. I show them imperfection, but a pursuit to fulfill that kind of a purpose and very clear understanding that we were called for more, that there is an objective. That the conversation that people have about transgender, LGBTQ, same-sex marriage, same-sex, I only talk about productivity
In your home.
That's from they were young. I never say, oh, don't like men or don't do. I only talked about productivity. I only talked about being able to produce something. I talked about legacy to my children. People don't like me to talk about legacy, but it's my son, from he was a child. I talked to him about the fact that he doesn't belong to him. He belongs to me. And I don't belong to me. I belong to my father. And I have the responsibility to be able to carry my father's name and be able to envelop it, to develop it, and show my worth and value for what he's given me, the opportunity he's given me. And I went beyond that. I belong to my father in heaven. This is how I teach my children.
And this is why you're my friend. And this is why I can say I love you man to man, because you're a man that's built on a solid foundation.
That's it.
And I did not purposely give you that bottle of honey that's in my car for you.
Okay, good, because I want the honey.
Because,
let's just be clear.
Because... Bahamas and the world listening, I didn't want Howard to be too sweet on the show.
You need to stop it today, sir. You're wilding out. Ladies and gentlemen, in the studio with me, also being up now, you heard Jeff call in the other day, right? He said, Howard, I'd like to be in the studio and sit with you on this next show. And we made that happen. This is my very good friend. I know him from long before DNA times and his advocation. We know him from the hotel times and being able to do some things in those spaces. He goes way back with me. And he's remained consistent in his sort of a push and his desire to be able to see national growth and development in the country. Pull your mic close. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to introduce you to none other than Jeff Delevo. My brother, what's happening with you?
Everything is well. Good afternoon, Bahamas. Howard, it is always a privilege and a pleasure to sit in your presence. You're so right. You're so right when you speak about my passion for national growth, fair play, and you know, prosperity for the Bahamian people, which seems to be ever so lacking in this country, especially during this time. And you know, some people, what I realize out there, a lot of persons, they want truth, the power, and I try my best to speak that. I live that, whatever you hear me speak to, I live that way, mm-hmm. you know, and all I want is just peace and prosperity for my Bahamian people as afforded by not just our Constitution, but our Heavenly Father, God mm-hmm. Himself. Mm-hmm. And it's so lacking in this country that it appears that the leaders or the ones who we select as our leaders do not understand the concept of what it is that the Bahamian people truly desire. That mm-hmm. is fair play across the board, a way to live comfortably in this country and to be prosperous in our country.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to be a part of the conversation today. We're going to chop it down. We're going to deal with some things in the news because something popped out to me as I'm reading this, right? As I'm reading this idea, Maslow wrote of being able to take on the position to talk about and NIB being able to raise, because he's already come to us with a preamble. He's already come to us with the preamble to say that we're losing some 40-some thousand, I think it was 48, 49 million dollars annually, right? And then he's already sort of gave us this cast. He cast a vision into our minds to say that we are a society that is expanding our lifeline, right? In so many words, this is what is happening. This is the conversation beyond the words, beyond the headlines, right? And, you know, no pun intended. This is a conversation that goes far beyond. And he's saying to us, he says, listen, people are living longer in our society. If you remember, people, as a result of them living longer, National Insurance now has the responsibility for being able to take care of them. We got to take care of them. And as, what you want us to do, not pay them? We have to identify $48 million, $49 million annually just to ensure that they're taken care of. I've never forgotten that. And as a result of that, being able to come to the forefront, I knew that the government of the Bahamas had a responsibility to be able to answer the call. You're not going to put something on the table without being able to speak to it more specifically. And in this budget, he's taken on that perspective, that position. This government, this New Day administration, has done something that is kind of taboo for the PLP. When I say taboo, I don't mean that we don't see it creeping in one way or another. Over the course of the last two, maybe three elections, we've seen the PLP shift their narrative, their focus. They still speak with the traditional language and idea of being able to do the heavy lifting, wiping every tear from every day, right? An organization that's for the poor, right? But they have the socioeconomic responsibility to identify areas that needs to be strengthened economically. And where it may be difficult, it's almost like a very good friend who owes you money and you're in such economic strengths that you don't know how to approach this very good friend that you loan money to get your money back, to put yourself in good position. That's how the PLP dealt with us for time immemorial. They know they have the responsibility both locally and globally to ensure that we move in a particular direction. But they've been indifferent to come to the Bahamian people and say, we need this.
Transparency is the word here.
Right? No, but they was transparent enough to say that we need this. But they've never been transparent enough to say that we need you to do your part to get this done. They've never done that.
And that's the part I'm referring to as transparency.
Okay. So the PLP has taken on this kind of position over the last, I want to say, two or three elections with the introduction of VAT, right? The increase, the FNM has taken advantage of the fact that, because we knew that they had a number, and I think the number is between 15 and 21%. Right? They did a regional consultation during the time that we saw that. And the regional consultation indicated that it was supposed to be 14 or 15%, right? It was going to be as high as 21%, but they put it down to 14, 15%. This was under the Christie administration. The Christie administration, in their infinite wisdom, right? And I put that in air quotes. In their infinite wisdom, came to the Bahamian people and indicated, this is what was happening regionally. This is our responsibility economically. This is the number that we have identified. We're going to creep to that number. We're going to start off at 7.5%. You remember this?
Yeah.
Okay. That was one of the most difficult conversations the PLP has ever had with the Bahamian people under that administration. The FNM piggybacked on that and said, no, we didn't introduce this VAT to you. But we have a responsibility being able to raise it to a certain thing. These are the treaties. These are the agreements. These are the relationships that we formed. This is our responsibility. The FNM took on that particular position. And now we see another position. Now, because I think both administrations speak with two tongues. And the tongue one tune says, we need to be more innovative. We need to be more creative in terms of being able to make funds or bring money into the coffers of the Bahamian public. And we're not going to raise taxes. But simultaneously, we need to be able to police this. Miles LaRota, in his position as the head, has done something that I call the inevitability of social change. It has always been traditionally identifying or listening to these conversations and almost dismissing it. Well, the government ain't gonna do that. Confident that your PLP administration will not raise taxes. Confident that they ain't gonna put more on you than you can bear. But as there is economic crunch, pressure globally, you have to make a strong decision locally. I want to put that on the table for you guys. I want to put that for both of you. And ladies and gentlemen, for you also, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, or hit me up anywhere from the Family of Islands, or toll free on your cell phones, 242-300-5720. Hit me up, 422-4796. We're live and in full effect in studio today. I got to put this before y'all because this is peculiar for me. This is not the language of the PLP. The NIB that was rolled into and ushered in to be able to assist almost like a 401k that was designed strategically to be able to help mommy and poppy them. Because you remember before the NIB, there was a plethora of children that you would have. Talk to me. I just want to be very clear about this. Let's put it on the table. You would have X amount of children. And then you identify the one that gravitates to supporting you the way that you need as your pension baby. Talk to me. That was it. Your son or daughter that gravitates to assisting you in a bygone era was your pension baby. That's the one who could take care of me when I old. The PLP, in this kind of a vision that was cast in 73 or even post 73, understood the importance of being able to create without this dependence on any individual the contributions that you could support yourself into the future. But now we're seeing some things shift. Now we're seeing Miles LaRota in his capacity over NIB saying, we're going to have to raise this for the foreseeable future by 1.5% every year. Talk to me about it, guys. Go ahead, Garth. I won't put you on it first. Go ahead.
Well, the cost of living definitely has continued to rise in the Bahamas. The government does have an issue with them having to find revenue in order to pay salaries and to maintain infrastructure and everything else that is their responsibility in this country. As I look globally, we look at homelessness as it's on the rise all over the world. I mean, in America, there are millions of people in the course of a year that have become homeless just because of the rise of cost of living. The government has found itself only here because they have failed to find ways of constructing and introducing new revenue streams into the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. See, their promise is one of innovation, ingenuity, and quite frankly put, the people that are now our members of Parliament, I must say that I do not know these people. Many of you do not know these people. And like we commonly say, you put a shirt on any pot cake and they could run and win in the election. Now, I'm not demeaning or demoting them as a person, their personal accomplishments, but even now, as a learned man, many of these members of parliament, I do not know. I do not even know half or quarter or a minuscule amount of what they are capable of because I've not seen anything from any of them. And so I believe that on the onset of the victory of the 2021 election, they look so good. I mean, the talk in Spanish and Creole and English, and these people were, oh my God, I was just blown away. I said, you know what? I didn't believe that these people could do it, but you know what? This Vision 2040 and the way these people talk in, they may just do it. And in the first year, we were all holding our breath, Howard Grant, waiting for these people to perform. We're now going into year three, still waiting for these people to perform. And we
hoped that they would have found ways and means to employ tens of thousands of people, to bring new revenue streams, to bring smart cities to this country. And he says, you know what? Let's just see if a prime minister in the form of Philip Brave Davis would allow the Chester Coopers, who were people who were of great renown in the business world, and Gladys Annemarie, who had the history politically, and Fred Mitchell, who had the articulation and ability to go out there and negotiate, that they could bring this country to the era where we should be. It's almost 3 years later, and we are still waiting.
And I don't want to say to their defense, I want to shoot straight with you. I always, you know, I always give you a little analogy, but I want to bring it home. I met my wife in 2000. I was broke. I had nothing.
Y2K.
I met her in 2000. Fresh out of high school, had no desire to be able to get married into anything. I was about to, you know.
You ain't broke no more, right?
No. I live in, giving God praise. I still live. Watch me.
Let's be decent.
fresh out of school, I had no money.
Uh-huh.
So I couldn't add anyone to an equation where I was trying to take care of me. Love had its own agenda. Fall in love with the woman. I will marry her. But the independence and pride that I took, that I learned from my grandmother, would not cause me to ask anyone to help me with this. So there was a clear conversation between my wife and I that I want to pay for our wedding. I want to do this. I want to pay for your ring. I want to do all these things. I couldn't do that in Cuba because both of us was in Cuba at school. So we had to make a decision to go back home. When I got home, I bust my behind looking for a job. Finally got a job as a security officer.
Real man.
Right? Mm-hmm. As a security officer, my first car cost me $500.
Real man.
I almost dead in this car. The manifold was broken under the thing. We couldn't breathe all the monoxide in the world. But
what type of car?
It was a Jeep Cherokee, right? Jeep Cherokee. I bought it from my cousin for $500, right? I almost choked to death in the car.
You all had a $500 car. But go ahead. You ain't
my
different.
My point to you.
Yes.
Every single step along this path led me to being able to pay for my own wedding. Now, my father-in-law, after I'd paid for everything, said, no, and gave me the money. Praise God for him. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't take the opportunity away from him.
He paid you to take that woman off his hand.
My God, you understand that?
No, but I love your wife. But daddy said, I didn't have enough.
He owe me some more money, need to call him.
Okay, good.
So listen.
Uh-huh. You're selling your decent father-in-law.
I tell you this whole story to say to you that in this life, no matter the vision that's cast for the progression and idea of growth and development and expansion and the incorporation of new cities and all that, everything takes time. Can we falter this administration who's been in after the devastation that we saw with the former administration, even the devastation that we saw with the administration prior to that, the PLP?
Here,
can we falter this Brave Davis new day administration?
I know Jeff won't jump on this.
Inability,
and maybe a wise man like myself would allow Jeff to jump on this, but I just want to say one thing.
You
got to
give the man
Jeff
some time.
But you know what? Let me be decent. I already spoke. Jeff, go ahead.
Go ahead.
I so wanted to answer but go ahead.
You know, Howard, I understand exactly the angle where you're coming from with that, right? You know, we are now out here saying the Bahamian people, we are woke, we are wide awake. You know, this is not the first rodeo many of us in this room has been through when it comes down to pronouncements and promises. You know, when I look at any government, especially the past one, they made certain promises to the Bahamian people that they should have kept. And needless to say, there are many of those promises that were not kept. On the campaign trail, I find that politicians make promises, even some of the pie-in-the-sky ones that they know within themselves they cannot fulfill. You know, even 5 years.
Hold on, but that's called a liar.
Well, I didn't want to say that.
No, but that's what it is.
But to the Bahamian people, I want them to understand specifically what I'm saying here.
That's not a liar.
That's a liar.
That's a politician.
That's a dream.
That's heavy what you're doing.
A dream creator. Okay? If I could be decent with this. All right? The thing is, what I'm saying here is that we as a Bahamians, we are beyond sick and tired of promises. Okay? I would prefer as many of us under the dilly tree, under the tamarind tree, under the almond tree. Let me tell you the conversations. You talk about barbershop and in the bar. The Bahamian people out here are talking. We are sick and tired of promises. We want to see delivery on the promises. And what even is so more egregious is the ones that we term the low-hanging fruits. They're not even delivering on those. And, you know, like I said, this is not our first rodeo. We have seen, I can't even call how many elections I've already been a part of and voting for parties. But the bottom line here is that, you know, you talk about promises and promises and promises. I do not blame the politicians. This is the point I want to get across. I blame we, the Bahamian people, for being gullible and having the knowledge that we are being sold dreams, are still following the dreams of these politicians. We want true statesmen who are going to come forward, paint the picture. This is the vision that we have going forward. These are the first steps we're going to do, seeing that these are issues that we believe we can easily solve.
But Jeff, I want to ask you this question.
And it's not happening.
Hold on, Jeff. I want to ask you this question. I got to take this commercial break, but I got to ask this question before we go to the break. Why is it, theoretically, why is it, in the space of us moving politically towards an objective, there is this belief in our society that there will be a difference between our politicians and the applications that they see and what needs to be done from this perspective, whether it's business or and the relationships that you have home. You married. Garth have his woman. I got my woman. We all understand the commitment that we make as it relates to relationships and what we want to be able to do in the future. However, the bumps in the road that continues to be able to act as a drag win that doesn't cause us to get to an objective, and our wife and woman says on a regular basis, well, you know, his mercies endureth every day. I just pray that God, this man get it together today. There is a quiet hope and expectation that political organizations, FNM, PLP, and others will get it together today. And we have not seen that. So is there any expectation? And again, you might as well write your information now because we can take a break. Is there any expectation that our politicians will get it together?
There's an
expectation. And if they ain't gonna get it together, do we just divorce them? Let me take this quick commercial break. Guys, be a part of the conversation. 323-623-2325-4316. 325-4259. Anywhere from the family of islands, 542-300-5720. And hit me up, 422-4796. This is The Foundation with Howard Grant. Take this quick commercial break and be right back after this.
The Foundation. The Foundation. Foundation.
Introducing Wendy's new chimichurri cheeseburger.
Chimichurri.
That's how you pronounce it. Let it roll off your tongue. Then get ready for some ridiculously good flavor. Fresh, herby, garlicky, green, chimichurri. It'll feel like a relaxing backyard get-together with friends on a Sunday.
Put in a burger.
Come meet Wendy's new chimichurri cheeseburger with our new Dave's Craft Lemonade. Wendy's different inside and out.
With over 25 years in business, nothing says commitment to our people, culture, and service like Rev. And this year is no different. We will continue to elevate your home experience for you to create and share memories for years to come, while keeping you connected to the people and things you love most. Our pledge to provide quality service each year remains true. Rev is made for you.
Tired of paying too many bills and loan payments each month?
Shrink your monthly debt payments down to one easy payment with our debt consolidation loan.
It also has a built-in savings that pays you 5% interest.
Inquire about our debt consolidation loans today.
Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Bahamas Games? What was the purpose of the games?
The purpose is twofold. One, to bring Bahamians from throughout the Commonwealth of the Bahamas together through sports. And the second, to find talented athletes throughout the Commonwealth of the Bahamas to be trained and possibly make it to the Olympic level.
When the games is?
This July 7th to the 15th.
For more info, call 322-1029.
Foundation. Foundation. The Foundation. The Foundation. Foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM Radio, Howard Grant in your company, live and in full effect on this beautiful, absolutely gorgeous Wednesday. You know, it's a roundtable conversation, sort of a panel discussion to talk about national events of growth and development and where we are. I'm just playing devil's advocate in here and really being able to ask the questions to provoke your thoughts in the direction as to whether or not you can see this PLP administration making the significant steps, or whether or not this is lackadaisical, laid-back approach with the hopes that things will change around us, as opposed to being able to make some changes for growth and development. I'm sitting in the studio with none other than Garth Roseborough and Jeff Delavaux, being able to talk about these national issues. Gentlemen, when we left on the break, before we went to a break, and I see your telephone calls, before we went to a break, I just asked a question. And I want to be able to put it back to you. I need to know your perspective, your view on those particular issues as it relates to where we're going. Is it that we're too hard for this? Is it that the commitment that... Are we beating this political organization, this administration, with the whip of lack of promises or broken promises of yesteryear? Because Perry Christie broke promises to us. Hubert Ingraham broke promises. Lyndon Pentland broke promises. Are you going to take this switch that's ever expanding and getting thicker? This is no longer a switch. This is one of the paddle boards. And you're beating this administration with it. Is it fair to this administration who is a year in?
Here's what I'm observing. The most abused word in politics, internationally, and no different than here in the Bahamas, is the word we, W-E. Anytime you hear anyone say to you, let us or we can, ask yourself the question, what does we comprise itself of? We says to Garth that if you have $50 and I have $50, then there is a we. But if I have $50 and the politician only has $10 to render, there is no we. There's you and there's me. And in most cases, I'll explain this to you very, very succinctly. During the election year, the aspiring member of parliament has the bag. Not $10, not $10,000, but $100,000 or more to ensure a victory in the polls. So they are the big man in this game, and you have maybe $10 in your purse or in your wallet, so therefore you say, we, because you want to identify with the man who has $100,000 or more. You say, we. Oh, we going to win this. We the PLP. We the FNM. We going to win this. And when the member of parliament wins the election, you still have $10. And they have access to millions of dollars. And you know what they say to you? There ain't no we. There's you. And there's me. Ain't no we. Who is you? Now, you have to wait now for another 5 years. And I'll say this to the people who are staunch PLPs and staunch FNMs in this country. Let me say this to you.
I returned back to the Bahamas in 2006. And I did okay. When they did the road project in 2012, I remember when that time came, well, before that, 2007, 2012, I suffered in this country. I mean, I had to fight tooth and nail. That's how I learned to be so strong and so independent. Because if you didn't find a way, you were going to die, a man of my caliber. I got a break 2012 to 2016. I'm not going to deny that to anybody. But in 2017, once again, you suffer. And then now that the PLP is in power, ask yourself the question, are you doing well or are you suffering? I'm a learned man. I'm not a stupid man. By any means, I can make decisions. I'm a Bahamian first. I'm not pulling sides here. I'm not pulling down your party. I'm not pulling down your government. I'm pulling down a situation. If your thick skull could just understand what I'm saying to you for just one moment. When you want better, better is not 5 years, because guess what's about to happen in very short order? Your good run for 5 years, those who are now doing well, in the next 5 years, you are going to suffer. You, your children, and your grandchildren, that's if you even care who your children and grandchildren are, because you are so selfish and your mind is so closed that the only person or individual in this universe that can have any good to do with you is the devil himself. You're no good. You're trash. We can never build a country every other 5 years. It's not going to happen. We need to be a people who's prepared to build this country every hour of the day, or the seconds, the minutes, the months, the years. And if you're not prepared to do that, get the hell out of the country, move to Canada, move to America, move to Europe, move to Haiti, move to Jamaica. We don't care the hell where you go, but you can't stay here because we're sick and tired of you and your nonsense.
Whose fault is this?
It's the people who are us.
We're getting somewhere. The people of this country, the last time they made a decision based upon transparency, trust, and the sort of vulnerability to come and say, please afford me an opportunity. The last time this country decided to afford a person, a leader, in their particular capacity as prime minister, a second opportunity was in 1997.
That's correct. Mm-hmm. That's absolutely correct.
And that was because Hubert Ingraham begged for that. There wasn't a bunch of campaigning and all these kind of things. Hubert Ingraham said, please give me a second chance so I could start finish the work that I started. And the Bahamian people said, all right, baby, we can give you a second chance.
And guess what? That's what Brave about to say, too. I want you to believe.
Yeah, but you didn't kill the man in the first 2 months, the first 2 years. We didn't drag him through the ringer for the past 36 months.
My boy, you know, Jeff, I'm going to cut you off, right? You know what baffled me this morning? I'm picking on nobody. I tell you, I love the philanthropy of Brave Davis and his wife. I think they are wonderful citizens that have given back to people in their own way. Listen to me, though. I try to figure who the Brave Davis is who spoke to the United Nations. And who's the Brave Davis who talked with the Somerville Fund the other day? Okay. I watched a video this morning. I said, well, bye, dog. Just seeing the same fellow just talking in front of the UN, who spoke so eloquently as a toastmaster. I am an orator. I ain't asking nobody who I am. I know a good speech when I hear one.
Wasn't it good?
And my God.
Wasn't it good?
I got calls from all over the world saying, is that your prime minister? Oh, my God. He is off the chain. And then I listened to this fellow. I said, well, what in the hell happened? Where is our prime minister?
Let me take a telephone
call. I'm not picking on nobody.
Let me take a telephone call before we go to break. Caller, you're on the line with us live. Go ahead. Go ahead, caller.
How you doing, Howard?
I'm good. What's up? I saw your call. I missed your call. What's happening with you, Graham?
You know, we got a great phone company now. We sold it. It's so much better. Foreigners got it. Everything has to be foreign. But you know what's exciting? You know what, Howard? You really ain't got to talk today. This a relaxation day. Let your boy do all the talking.
Let him talk.
Graham, go back on your scooter and go down on Village Road. He's my boy. Don't go against me. Graham, do not go against God. He's my friend.
You know what? You know what's really good, right?
Go ahead.
I'll fill up the scooter today for about $250. And I got to run all week for $250, but we put the duty so high on them. They're about 110% tax all in for you to get an affordable 2023 transportation.
Wow.
That's another thing got to fix. You know, I can leave you all with this because I'm enjoying the show. Finally, we got someone on. Howard, you should bring our friend on every week to remind the people of how crazy we could be. I've had governance. I'm not going to pick on any party. I've had governance for 50 years. I got a big $2 billion place right here. I'm driving next to it now, Cable Beach. Got a billion something over on PI. Got a billion down there downtown. I got a new cruise ship terminal. I got a new airport. I got a brand new U.S. embassy, one of the biggest in the world for a country that is pas bon passé, tiny, insignificant. You put the biggest embassy in the world here. Why?
Plans.
So I can leave you with this.
You got plans.
50 years of governance, not one hospital for y'all. Not you and Howard, not you in Freeport. You got Duran, and we got whatever we got, the UBP hospital we still go into, and we patch it up. If I wanted you to have a good hospital, you would have had it by now. I'll talk about it. We got a good talk, eh? You know what I want to see, Howard? I want to see everybody in opposition. Put everybody in opposition because they're so good in opposition. And give me someone different to be leading the country because for the first 4 years, they're going to have to step up and help the people. And that's what we need. And it's not, you know, we're going to go, and like you just said, we can go left, right, left, right, left, right. Everybody benefiting and the Bahamians getting pushed right in back of the bush. You know what? We give free and open door and red carpet to everybody except a Bahamian. Howard, the two of you, I'm going to hang up, list the top 10 things we've done to help the small Bahamian businesses in the last 50 years. Because we know what we did for foreigners, okay? You can bring your big boat and pay hardly nothing. Now you tell me what we've done to help our people in small business for the last 50 years. You can name 10 things.
Well,
go on. Y'all have a good
one. Thank you, my brother. I do appreciate you. Ladies and gentlemen, let's take this quick commercial break. I'm in here. I feel like it's getting a little bit hot under the collar. We're going to do that. We're in the studio with none other than my good friend Garth Roseboro and Jeff Deliver. We're going to get into it right after this. Let's go to commercial break, news, and be right back after this.
I'm Lasagna Mizek, Managing Director of RBC Royal Bank Bahamas, with some big news that will elevate your debit card experience. RBC's new Visa debit chip card will soon be here. To make things easier for you, we're offering free FedEx delivery when you validate your contact details. No need to wait in line. We'll bring the card straight to you. Call 356-8500. Select option 7 for Visa Debit Direct Line and update your delivery address. Our team is available weekdays between 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Take advantage of the security and convenience of chip and PIN technology. Free delivery is for a limited time, so act now.
At Ron's Electric Motors, they repair and rewind all major brands of electric motors, including water pumps, generators, and the generator's back end, welding machines, electric lifts, air compressors, battery chargers, and more. They're equipped to handle up to 850 kilowatts and rewind up to 450 horsepower motors. They're conveniently located on the corner of Wolf and Clarence Roads and are open weekdays 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturdays till noon. They offer 24 hours emergency assistance. You can reach them 242-356-0249.
Bahamas Games? What was the purpose of the games?
The purpose is twofold. One, to bring Bahamians from throughout the Commonwealth of the Bahamas together through sports. And the second, to find talented athletes throughout the Commonwealth of the Bahamas to be trained and possibly make it to the Olympic level.
When the games is?
This July 7th to the 15th.
For more info, call 322-1029.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Foundation. Foundation. The foundation. The foundation. The foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM radio, Howard Grant in your company, live and in full effect on this beautiful Wednesday panel conversation, being able to talk about national growth and development, just playing a little bit of a devil's advocate and trying to be able to stir this water. Guys, you know the numbers. I saw your line, the lines lit up. I spoke with one person, but I saw the lines are lit up. If you want to be a part of the conversation, 323-6232, 325-4316-325-4259, anywhere from the family of islands. Toll free call 242-300-5720 or hit me up 422-4796. That's the text line. Now, when we left off, we're talking about these things. If you're just tuning in, I don't know where you were, right? I'm not going to fight you, but we're here live and we're being able to talk with none other than Garth Roseborough and Jeff Delavo. Just being able to shoot the breeze about national issues and just talking about whether or not this kind of scrutiny that we place on the backs of leadership in this country, if it is as a result of the pain, the agony that we endured over the course of our relationships with former leaders, if it is fair for this administration to whip this administration with this no longer a switch, I say that it kept getting thicker and fortifying over those years. It's now a paddle. Are we fair in our assessment, evaluation, and badgering this political organization, this administration more specifically, with the paddle of tribulation or the pain that we endured years past? And I want to put that out there. I see the lines are lit up. Let me take this telephone call. Caller, you're on the line with us live. Go ahead. No? Guys, the lines are lit up. I thought it was lit up. Please give me a call if you want to be a part of it. Guys, let me see if this is it. Caller on the line with us live. Go ahead. We get a call on the line? No. Well, let me just put this out there for y'all. I'm indifferent. I'm indifferent about these things because I have great aspirations, ideas, hopes for the country going forward. But I know what we've endured. I just had a conversation with someone in passing this morning, and they say, Howard, I just asked them because, you know, I know these guys from politics. And I said, so what are you interested? He said, well, you know, Howard, we'll see how the tide turns and we're going to move with the tides and make a determination if this is where the Father has us to be. And I said, well, I think I'm done with this. That's what I said to him. I said, I think I'm done with this. And he says, Howard, are you sure? Are you saying that you're tired or are you done? I said, I think I'm done with this political thing. I don't want to be able to participate because I don't know whether or not I can make any significant difference. He said, Howard, just inches. He said, if you're looking to make this big change, it's only about inches. You have to take your inches. He said, what about the fact that if we hadn't taken those particular inches from slavery, if men and women didn't take those inches? And then I thought about Harriet Tubman. I thought about Rosa Parks. I thought about Malcolm X. I thought about Martin Luther. I thought about Fred Hammond. I thought about these persons who took those proverbial inches to be able to see the freedom or, you know, this concept and construct of freedom that we enjoy today, right? But I know that there are even more inches to be taken. And so I ask myself the question, whether or not I participate in these particular inches to take on this course. And so that's the question, whether or not this political organization, this administration more specifically, the PLP, are taking the inches to get us to the greater objective of the Bahama land that we envision.
Well, I was just reading, Howard. You know, one of my low-hanging fruit that Jeff spoke about earlier is that of the legalization of cannabis. Now, I'm not a smoker. I don't participate in the teas and the use of the herb itself, but I do understand that plant life does have an advantage. Why is this government, through our good friend AG, my noble friend Ryan Pinder, seeking public consultation with the idea that we reduce the infraction of marijuana use to a fine like that of a traffic ticket, then simply just doggone legalizing it one doggone time? Either it's good or it's bad. That's how I look at it. It ain't no two ways about it. It ain't no middle ground. But once again, this government is trying to find ways of bringing revenue. And so if a young man has a joint in his hand, so now he's going to get a $200 ticket
because there's a joint in his hand, but we're not going to send you to jail. So taxes, 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 fees, 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 money, money, money. I'm asking the people of the Bahamas to please explain to me that this government, when they came in, promised us that they would find new streams of revenue other than that of the good, common, decent people of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. And now you're putting straw on our backs to the point where you put another needle on our back. It's going to break our backs. My God, do you have any conscience? Are you even a human being? We're asking you these questions.
Okay, Menace, go ahead. Okay, Menace, go ahead.
Okay, now it's okay if our beloved Prime Minister, and I use these endearing words because I'm not a man of animosity. I am really trying to get to the solution in this matter. If our Prime Minister would just simply pin himself to our flag and remain at home and show us a better way, or simply explain to us, without stammering, by the way, as to why you have to bring all these new taxes upon us, and show us how the members of Parliament now are willing to take a pay cut in order to afford us some breathing room, take the knee off our neck. Then, of course, we may say we give you another opportunity, but you're not going to cut your salary, are you? You're looking for ways to increase your salary, aren't you? You're also looking at ways to fill your pockets, aren't you? No sovereign wealth fund for you because it's too much of a fantasy for you. You have to wait maybe a decade, maybe two decades, three. You're not going to be alive, Brave Davis, to give account for the decades that will pass. We need it now. The sovereign wealth fund can happen now. If you found oil in this country, stand up in Parliament as you were in the opposition and say to the Bahamian people, we have oil. Then stand up and say, we have aragonite. Then stand up in Parliament and say, you know what? The truth about the VAT is that we have used the VAT in the past to make ourselves comfortable, but now we want to give some back to the Bahamian people. Don't tell us there's no money for us to have. You got all the money, and we have absolutely none.
That's not going to happen.
I want to shoot straight with you and say something. And I see the lines are lit up. I got to be able to take these telephone calls. I want to shoot straight with you and say something, right? The position that we've taken, any political organization has taken, while you start to talk about Brave Davis and his necessity for being able to pin himself to the Bahamian flag, that is always the plan A. And I believe for him, for former Prime Minister Perry Christie, for former Prime Minister Ingram, and all those who have political aspirations to move in this particular direction. I'm hoping that you can hear me because I can't hear myself in the air. For all those persons who have political aspirations and moving along this particular course, let's be very clear about this. That's plan A. But any good politician, just like any good decent man stepping into an obligation for a lifetime, or any good decent woman, always has a plan B. Plan A sometimes go contrary because unforeseen elements, because whatever, everything external that you don't have any hand in, right? Nature, an act of God, whatever this is, that's plan A. The plan B that our Prime Minister is working on is an assured position for an industry that is bigger than he is. $23 trillion is the green and blue economy. To have a conversation and contribution and being able to lead a people from the position that he's in as prime minister and forging the relationship both regionally and otherwise to be able to get to an objective to speak about what needs to happen with climate change is a strong plan B. A plan B that goes far beyond, hey, listen, you need representation in Parliament. Or, I'm sorry, you need representation in court. Because you know I'm a KC now. It's bigger than that. It is a plan B that you've made yourself an undeniable factor and a participant in global development that's bigger than you. That will last him for the rest of his life. I cannot fight this man. I can't. I cannot fight our prime minister for fortifying his plan B because y'all Bahamian people are indifferent
about who you're going to put back in the office. You have already come to the conclusion in your mind and in your spirit, there's only one term for you. No matter what he has done, because I believe he's doing some things. Now, I've already said that he could be the prime minister of CARICOM. He could be the prime minister of climate change because he's doing well. I read the thing from PAC, and I said, oh, my God, this is inspirational. Like, oh, my God, I never hear my prime minister speak with such inspiration and motivation. Mm-hmm. I was propelled. Mm-hmm. I said, my God, I got to vote for him in this space. But when we come back to what needs to be done on the ground, he needs to fortify his plan A, whether that is his team around him, whether that is being able to articulate and identify these things. But his plan B is well assured, my brother. And you can't fight him for his plan B, because there is always uncertainty when you step into the political ring in this country. Let me take a telephone call. Caller, you're on the line with us live. Go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. How you doing?
I'm good, man. How you doing?
Great, wonderful. Listen, it might be a little off your topic, but I think it's still something to do with both governments. The roads. I mean, they got some craters in these roads. You know they can wait on Howard until the Bahamian hit it, have the weave, or a tourist dropping it, and they get killed or they get maimed. The roads, I mean, they get craters in these roads. You can't tell me the police officers will be riding these roads and they don't see the holes. All they have to do is say, hey, there's a big crater here. It need to be fixed or it can cause an accident. Somebody could die by getting in an accident or have to weave and hit a car or something like that. And pray God it don't rain, because you won't see it. Once you drop on them, that's it. Mm-hmm. So if these two men could speak about that, have someone monitoring the roads that they can get around and fix these big craters. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you, my brother. I appreciate your telephone call. Go ahead, Graham.
You know what's amazing about that caller? The guy who getting the contracts, like $50,000 a month, you don't see them same holes in your road. As a matter of fact, he will drive right through them, change his tire every day if he has to. But as far as he's concerned, he does not have a problem. Herein lies the issue of the Bahamas. We do not really truly care about each other. If we did, then we would raise our voices together and make the complaint and almost encourage the government forcibly to do the right thing. But they don't feel your roads. Let me ask you a question then, Mr. Caller. When was the last time do you believe, in your mind, that our prime minister's car fell into a hole? Let me hear this. Let me hear when Chester Cooper, the deputy prime minister's car, fell into a hole. By God, if the minister of education or the minister of waste fall into a hole, that officer will probably lose his job. They don't feel the holes in the road. And some of them got those what they call an air cushion, that even if they hit a bump in the road, you don't feel it. I know how the Mercedes-Benz rides. I'm not ignorant. I had one too. I still got one. I understand air cushion support. But Bahamian people, you are the ones who are suffering, and yet you, ignorantly and almost silly and stupidly, say, you know what? That's my government. That's my MP. That's my prime minister. That's my minister. People, listen, I'm going to say this, Howard Grant. What I love about you is the life that you've lived so far as a decent young man. Life is short. If you continue to want to eat the pot cake and the bones off the plate, that's exactly how you're going to die. It's afforded to every man in the Commonwealth. Look at your word of your country, the Commonwealth. That wealth which is common to all of us. To have decent roads, decent electrical utilities, decent source of water, low mortgage rates, beautiful beaches, beautiful forestry, beautiful archipelago, beautiful nation. But you continue to have to slap mosquito and slap sandfly all day long. Why? Because you're ignorant and you're stupid. It's not the government's fault. The government says, we got a donkey, we're going to ride you. Every time, every 5 years, this is what they know to be true.
Hey, I always like these kind of conversations. I do. And as I listen and the analogies come to the forefront, none of our leaders have helipads. So whatever we've fallen in from a road perspective, we've all fallen in. We have. I live out west, and a couple things come to mind. Now, you remember, we talked about this already. I said to you that I am going to China this year.
Praise God.
I'm going to China. I'm going to do my show from China. We've had significant conversations after I spoke to my guys, Antonio Bullard and Omar Smith. I'm going to China October 15th of this year. God spare my life. I will be in China. I'm going to do my show there for 2 weeks. And there's three parts. They say they visit in three cities. One of the cities is similar to a Silicon Valley. I'm going there to identify and really have conversations with the possible tech that can be incorporated into our spaces. My point. There is tech that is designed right now as asphalt. It looks like it's not the traditional asphalt. It absorbs the water and displaces it accordingly. Right? Wow. There is technology that exists right now in spaces that you can be able to incorporate. There is a specific approach to being able to ensure that the road underneath, the foundation of the road, is laid in a particular manner, and whatever you put on that can be able to take that shape. That doesn't happen in our society. They just scrape the road and slap the thing on top there. So all this is just topical. Mm-hmm. And anytime we find ourselves in this sort of torrential rain, the other night, I thought Jesus was here. I thought it was here. I said, my God, is this you coming now? Why have I not raptured up? What's going on with you, Jesus, right? Mm-hmm. Because the thunder and lightning was so loud, my wife is getting scared. She's trying to act hard these days. In the first few years of our marriage, every time it rained like that, she would get up and put a sheet over the mirror. I said, listen, Bodo Bear, you're bringing on me, baby. You're doing too much. I said, what you doing? This is too much. My point to you is this. We are all here in one space. We see it. And no matter how much tar they put on the top of this, it's only topical. Unless they identify the technology necessary and invest into a better Bahama land, all we would have is a perpetuation of the exact same thing. No matter how much we talk about climate change.
You're correct, Howard, but here's your real issue. Here's the foundation of what you're discussing. Ask yourself the one question. Does the government of the Bahamas really care?
They have to care.
No, they can pretend to care, but they do not have to care.
Listen.
They do not have to care. Listen to me. The gentleman in the studio today.
I have to care, but my wife.
The gentleman in the studio today, pretend. Howard. As the host of this show, you invited Mr. Jeff Delevoye. The first time I met Jeff Delevoye, who actually is a friend of my family, I didn't even know he knew my cousin Timothy Brown and Laban Brown. Laban Brown was the first male nurse in the Bahamas. People don't know who I am. I had the first male nurse from my family. Celie Ward, Ursula Celie, is actually my guardian aunt. Beverly Celie from Sandlands is my grandmother for the most part. But Jeff Delevoye, when I mentioned his name to my cousin, he said, do you know Jeff? I said, I know Jeff. Jeff is a noble individual. And I'm only saying this to say to the people listening on the show today that your character will follow you wherever you go. When people call your name, they will identify you as either being noble or being not noble.
And the word that we could be able to surmise that in is legacy.
Well, legacy, yes. And so when we talk about the honorable people of the house, can someone please give me the definition, in my own learned experience, what is honorable?
The
really
honorable
mean?
Concept has shifted, morphed, and shaped with the tradition and lackadaisical approach of the politicians that exist in our space. Honorability doesn't have the same nobility that it has or that we read of in the dictionary. It takes on a different shape because people say, well, it is what it is. But that's just the nature of our people. It seems as though, if you go by their definition, that honorability is morphed by the cultural tradition that exists in that space.
How many lawyers do you know are honorable?
I plead the
most of your politicians are lawyers. But I'm just asking a question. How many lawyers in this country do you know to be honorable? Because many of us have done business with lawyers, and ain't none of us really ended up too well. Your property gets stolen, your generation land gone,
your house gone. Lawyers, as a disclaimer.
And you can't get divorced in 10, 15, 20
My God,
years.
As a disclaimer.
But I'll say this to you.
He mean allegedly, right?
Yeah, but your politicians are all lawyers, so I don't know how they get to be honorable. But anyhow, I'm going to ask you another question. Because I know when I first went into a political family, and they had multiple issues. They said, my God, how are we going to fix this? How are we going to fix this? How are we going to fix that? We need someone to go fix all these. As the Lord liveth before me today, one name came up. Jeff Delavaux. I you had all kinds of electrical problems and situations called Jeff Delavaux. Now, you see, that's honor. And that's nobility, because people know who could fix what. Now, I'm going to ask you another question, Mr. Howard Grant, as the host of this show, The Foundation. Which of the MPs do you know could fix anything, man? Just give me one or two. I know we got two or three that probably could, but give me 10. Just like I don't call and said before, give me 10 of them who could fix anything in this country.
You're not going to put me into this tight space, sir.
No, I'm not going to put you
this
in a tight space.
This is a rock, a hard place in platinum. You need to stop.
Exits. We got emergency exits.
You need to stop.
Security at the front
I got
door.
Good, decent friends.
Give me 10 out of 39
I got
MPs
good,
who
decent
can fix
friends.
Anything. Last time I checked, Mr. Howard Grant, respectfully to you, sir, and I respect you with all my heart, where's the MP in Michael? And the people are there crying about the boat service and crying about the airport down there and crying about the generator down there. What is honorable in this request? And no, we're not getting no reply. I'm not picking on Honorable Minister McIntosh or whatever his name is. I'm simply saying a problem exists. And if a problem exists, the blind man Bartimaeus in the Holy Bible could tell you that the man cannot be found, man.
You're doing a lot today. Guys, I see the lines are lit up. You know the numbers to call.
Nobody.
323-6232.
I call situations as it is.
325-431-6, 325-4259, 300-5720. That's toll free. Or hit me up 422-4796. Call on the line with us live. Go ahead.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen.
Good afternoon, man.
Yeah, man. Yeah, you get two fine gentlemen in the studio today, Howard.
Yes, sir. Yes,
yeah,
sir.
Yeah, man. You got one of my best friends, God, there, and you got my cousin.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Yeah, oh. Jeff Delavaux. Jeff Dottie, the late Jay Delavaux, and my grandmother, the late Irene Delavaux Munker, is brother and sister.
Okay.
Jeff and my late mother is first cousins.
Okay.
Jeff's children and me are second cousins.
Oh.
And me and God grow up together, running around and bamboo down together, barefoot.
So these are people now. So put a question
now,
before them. Go ahead.
Howard, congratulations on your son.
I appreciate you, my brother.
From Jordan Prince William yesterday.
Yes, sir.
Now,
yes, sir.
Rich, talking about portals, which way you came from? You came from East Street, right?
No.
I come up
Zion Boulevard.
That's a swimming pool, man, Howard.
Hey, and the word is Zion. The word
and is Zion. And the front is Beach Park. Just before you go to our corner, God,
yeah.
What that is, man. I passed a little while ago, the head down the Blue Roadway. Man, the traffic block up there. You got to wait till the car we're coming from the west come through. So what they doing now, they going to Bastion Yard. They going up to the man yard and they come around. That's a swimming pool, man. That ain't a portal. You hear the song say, going down Blue Hill Road, going down Nassau Street, we need local government. Man,
my
we
God.
Need local government for New Providence, man.
My God.
Now, that is a good idea, Howard.
Yeah, man, we need local government. We need that long time. George Smith has gone on to eternity now to get put down next Friday coming. And he had the white paper for the... For local government from New Providence from Mercy 77.
I didn't tell you all but this. If we are leading by the tradition, and I appreciate your telephone call, Muff. I thank you so much. I got some more people I gotta take care of. If we are leading by the concept, structure, plan, and layout of local government and the family of islands, that will not work in Nassau.
No.
It will not.
You
okay,
need money, man.
It is laden in politics.
You need fiscal responsibility.
It is laden in politics, and they do not have the autonomy to make the decisions for growth and development.
That is correct.
Everything still has to be filtered, shuffled through central government.
Exactly. That is true.
This doesn't make any sense.
But the PLP could change that now.
Why would
the
PLP
change
that?
They ain't going to want to change it.
Change it because they want to be honorable and they want to be saved and go to heaven like everybody
else.
But
no political party organization wants honorable.
They don't want that.
That's the label that was passed down, the bestowed to them.
They don't
no political organization pursues honorability. Not in this country.
No political... Man, come on, man. Stop it. Excuse me. Let's shoot straight. No political organization in this country pursues honorability. They do not pursue transparency. They do not pursue... They don't do that. They pursue a position and they retain this perception in your idea and hope to God to get back in government again.
In other words...
They got to craft this idea in your head.
In other words...
And honor ain't got nothing to do with none of this.
In other words, Howard, what you're simply saying is it reminds me of the old motto of the Bahamas in the past days. Pirates expelled. Are not expelled. But the commerce surely ain't being restored either. So, in essence, what you're saying here is you're talking about the word honor. Let me tell you something. Cuz, thank you so much for calling, because you touch on something. Anyone who knows the great J. Edison Delaval, my father, knows that that man stood on integrity and honor. Okay? And his 7 children, his wife still, of 63 years, still alive today. We still live the tradition as if he was still alive. Okay? See, I specifically call in that name so the nation could know that I'm a man, I don't talk garbage. I deal with nation building, and I don't like the way my country's going. The politicians in our parliament right now, sadly to say, in my humble view, I would hate to use the word garbage, but they are not doing what they are supposed to be doing for the Bahamian people. That is the reason why I'm in this studio today, because I'm going to echo that from the valley, from the hilltop to the valley. Mm-hmm. We have to fix this country.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? We have to fix this. We have a God, you so rightfully said it. The wealth that is supposed to be so common in this country, and it's sad. We see the wealth, you know. We know the wealth. But you know what it is to have Bahamians, 160,000 of us out of the estimated 400,000 of us on the struggle? We got to increase national insurance, because many of us never claim national insurance. But we have been paying for it from the first time we came.
It's the second time I write this down. I will say this to you.
It is ridiculous.
It's the second time I write this down on my paper today. Illusion. This is the second time. This first time Garth was taught writing, I wrote down the word illusion just to surmise some things. Now that you're talking about it, both of you taking on this position to talk about Commonwealth, that is an illusion. The Commonwealth was birthed, the concept and idea was birthed out of a monarchy. This don't even make sense.
We understand.
This don't even make sense what you're saying. What Commonwealth? You know what's the only Commonwealth? The monarchy. The monarchy.
It's a feudal system.
Has everyone under this. And you know what? You know what they did? When they couldn't find your allegiance to direct your allegiance to the crown. Mm-hmm. And you decided to be able to identify liberty and independence on your own. They say, okay, no problem, we can give you that, but just we want you to be a part of the Commonwealth of Nations. This don't make no sense. So why do we keep screaming about this concept and idea of Commonwealth and what needs to happen? No one is looking behind. The wizard is right there. The wizard is right behind. All you got to do is peer behind this curtain just a little piece and understand that all of this allegiance, this perpetual allegiance that we yield, we surrender our strength to the monarchy and speak as though that there is a real Commonwealth. This is not real.
But guess what, though, Howard? Here's the danger of not having a Commonwealth. Because of your minuscule identity, as one president called you all a toilet bowl nation, if you do not choose to be a part of the Commonwealth of Nations, then you know you must choose one of the G8.
Watch me. I can write the word down again. This is another illusion.
Yeah, okay, but guess what, though? But no, you can only illusion.
That's an illusion.
But we're talking about trades now. See, we can get into some deep stuff in a minute, but I want to say what Graham Weatherford said earlier, which is very profound. Now, I personally ain't going against America because I like my life. The great hope of America. I love
it. I like your preamble.
Yeah,
go ahead. I ain't going to fight you.
I'm trying to get it.
He says preamble. He was saying his visa.
I will live to be 100.
This is Garth, Roseboro. I want my visa. Go ahead.
But I want America. I want America to hear me today, though, because I can join Graham on this. You have the largest embassy ever in the Caribbean, in New Providence. If you really love us, please, just give us one decent hospital. Because by giving us a hospital, you will show me that you really care about the people of the Bahamas and you want us to live long, healthy lives.
You can do that because you have the power to do that. Now, I know you have your own problems. I know you got 18,000 immigrants coming into El Paso, Texas every day. That's 6 million a year coming into one city of America. I know you all are being overrun by Japanese and Chinese and Africans. I understand all of that, but your largest embassy ever happens to be right here in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas.
I don't know if this is the largest embassy
but
ever.
In the Caribbean. In the Caribbean. That thing is a monster, you know. Yeah, okay, that's a beast over there, you know.
Yeah.
Man, listen to me. You know that? That's a fort, you know. The walls are that thicker than your whole house together.
No one is looking at this because it's a whole different conversation.
But the embassy is right next to our hospital, is what I'm saying to you.
Yeah, but no one is looking at... we keep talking about this kind of a mammoth and sort of the gigantic nature of the embassy. But no one is understanding that countries such as America, such as China, when they make decisions, it's not for the heat of the moment. They already foresee some things.
And
if they're looking into the future, they understand strategically our geographical position can be able to yield whatever their objectives are. So this has nothing to do with us.
But listen, what I'm
it has everything to do with ensuring that they safeguard their position. If you're looking in the newspaper and you see the Chinese embassy and the chargé d'affaires of the United States, the Chinese ambassador and chargé d'affaires being able to talk about who is helping the Bahamas more, that has nothing to do with actually helping the Bahamas. That is all to do with being able to ensure that we nestle ourselves in the cracks and crevices of the minds of the Bahamian people in contribution, whether that's a stadium, whether that's with visas, whether that's with pre-clearance, whatever that is, that whenever we need you in due time and due season, that we have carte blanche
and to I'm your community. And I'm agreeing with you and I'm saying to you, keep your stadium. I don't
this run. This is the fourth time I got to write this today.
Yeah, but the hell with that
illusion.
I'm saying to you, then ask the Chinese or ask the U.S. Embassy to give us a doggone hospital. I don't think Graham is out of character for saying that. Yeah. Because guess what? Before, I look at life in three phases, Howard. You and I believe in
afterlife. But I ain't going to ask nobody to buy my wife a car.
We believe in the afterlife. So we believe in salvation. But there's two other elements in life that's very important. Health. And wealth. Health and wealth.
Five times I can write it today.
And all I'm simply saying to you again is this, right? I understand winning a gold medal is all prestigious and good, but how the heck that helped me when I had COVID? How the hell that helped me when I got diabetes and I got kidney failure?
Okay.
I'm saying to you, if you love me, I'm using the Bible, the same Bible you read.
Michael,
if you love me, build me a hospital.
I know we got to take a commercial break, but y'all is doing too much. You're pushing me in areas that I want to talk about.
I got to push you in the hole.
Watch me. I got to talk about this. This is five times I write this today. This is the word illusion. Okay, I am an overweight man. Everybody know that. It's a big fellow. Handsome, watch me. It's a big fellow. Let's be very clear about this. This isn't as a result of me being unhealthy. Bread is the enemy of me.
Who?
Bread.
You like bread?
Yeah. I'm talking about the white bread.
Because you're getting I'm very happy for you.
You're getting deep.
I don't have a problem with you and bread.
You're all Bahamian men.
Me and you all have a problem with
the bread. Indecent.
You know bread is good.
You need to stop it. You need to stop it right now.
Pancakes may be bad, but bread is good.
You need to stop it right now. Watch me. My point to you is that when we saw, and I think it was too little too late, when we saw the former Minister of Health take on a position to talk about shifting the breadbasket items and being able to put cabbage and all these healthy aspects and so forth and so on, the Bahamian people took umbrage with him. What the hell is he talking about? Jeez, is he crazy? This is what we've become used to, has become a part of our diet. Mm-hmm. This is who we are. If you want to talk about reformation for health, if you want to find a true sense of growth and development, it's not with being able to support big pharma. Because that's all this is.
That's all it is.
All we're doing by being able to get all these things is supporting big pharma. What we need to do is have more conversations about eating healthier, shifting our diets, and being able to incorporate these concepts into our schools. Because we may not necessarily be in a position to shift our diet instantaneously, but the next generation could understand and make decisions for what is healthy. So incorporate...
Can I ask a question?
This health concept into the schools and put the cafeterias or put the make sure that there is an opportunity for people to understand that there are healthy choices that are available. Everything else is an illusion. I'm not saying that we do not need a new hospital. I'm saying to you that that is not the answer. for the Bahamian people.
But guess what you're saying to me now? You're talking about teaching how to eat healthy in school.
All this, everything, all the conversations we have, whether we're talking about health, whether we're talking about mental transformation, whether we're talking about social justice, everything starts with the next generation. We got to start in school. But, so we keep going back to education.
But you hear what you're saying? I agree with you, you know, but you hear what you're saying? They're willing to go ahead right now and forgo teaching health in school. I didn't want to teach you, but your children and sexuality.
My God, you're getting heavy. You're getting heavy. Ladies and gentlemen, the lines are lit up. I know y'all going to fight me, but I got to take this commercial break. Let me take this commercial break. 96.9 FM Radio, Howard Grant. Let me pay these bills and be right back after this.
Foundation. The foundation.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
Guardian Radio and the Foundation are on the move.
Bahamas, this one's for you.
SBT. Small Business Thursdays. Every Thursday, the Foundation with Howard Grant will highlight small businesses throughout the country, far and wide. Your products, services, prices, and personality. We want to hear it all. Get your 30 or 60 second advertisement heard on air at a fraction of the cost. We here at the Foundation understand the times and don't want you to be left behind. With Guardian Radio, you reach your specific demographic and it is unmatched.
We reach thousands daily.
Get your products off the shelf and your services in their hearts. Small Business Thursdays with the Foundation, only on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. For more information, call 302-2300 or the Help Me Howard line at 827-0111. SBT. Small Business Thursdays. Get your business moving today.
Sizzle with breakfast from Burger King Nassau. Enjoy not one, but two delicious sausage and cheese croissant sandwiches made just for you for only $5.75, including VAT. This breakfast classic is made with Burger King's savory sizzling sausage and melted American cheese on that classic buttery croissant you love. So say hello to sizzling mornings at Burger King with two sausage and cheese croissant sandwiches for only $5.75, including VAT. Only at Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
I'm Lasagna Mizek, Managing Director of RBC Royal Bank Bahamas, with some big news that will elevate your debit card experience. RBC's new Visa debit chip card will soon be here. To make things easier for you, we're offering free FedEx delivery when you validate your contact details. No need to wait in line. We'll bring the card straight to you. Call 356-8500. Select option 7 for Visa Debit Direct Line and update your delivery address. Our team is available weekdays between 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Take advantage of the security and convenience of chip and PIN technology. Free delivery is for a limited time, so act now.
At Ron's Electric Motors, they repair and rewind all major brands of electric motors, including water pumps, generators, and the generator's back end, welding machines, electric lifts, air compressors, battery chargers, and more. They're equipped to handle up to 850 kilowatts and rewind up to 450 horsepower motors. They're conveniently located on the corner of Wolf and Clarence Roads and are open weekdays 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Saturdays till noon. They offer 24 hours emergency assistance. You can reach them on 242-356-0249.
Foundation. Foundation. The foundation. The foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM radio. Howard Grant and your company. Lines are wide open. I saw your telephone calls. I know why you dropped. I'm coming to you right now, guys. You know the numbers. Give me a call, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, anywhere from the family of violence, 242-300, 5720, or you can hit me up on the text line, 422-4796. Let me see if I can read a few of these texts before we go any further. It says, I got a couple of these. It says, Garth, passion is so strong, it's probably strong enough to find the missing mini submarines, a submissive. I don't know what the hell that is, right? So it says, the AG even sounded scared in his address. It says, they already had public consultation. I agree with your guess that the ticket is silly. I said silly, but you said something else. And only for money, right? There's a text that's coming through. It says, great show as usual, Howard. You marry a Cuban and sex was not on your mind. The devil is a liar. I didn't marry a Cuban. My wife is a Bahamian with Cuban roots. She's a percentage, right? She got Cuban roots, right? I says, because at the top of the show, I tell them when I was in school, I wasn't really concerned about these particular things, right? They tell me as a liar. Look at the people texting me. Say, Howard, you was a liar. You're a Bahamian man. How could sex not be in your mind? It's in your Bahamian DNA. My God, y'all need to stop it. You're indecent, right? So it says the next text that comes, she says, police has nothing to do with those potholes in the road. The Ministry of Works has supervisors who are looking for promotions every year. But what are they doing? It's their jobs to go out every day to inspect the roads and make sure that the Bahamian people have decent roads to drive on. Our tax, we pay for vehicle licensing supposed to go towards the upkeep of the roads. What are they doing for our vehicle license tax? If you remember when the Royals were here and they paved
Carmichael Road.
You remember they paved Carmichael Road in 2.7 days. I thought this was a pit stop. How quick they paved Carmichael Road. And I was like, zoop, zoop. And you come the next morning. Oh my God, what's happening? Something different here. What's going on, right? Mm-hmm. And the new road was paved, right?
Yep.
And we heard a representative from Ministry of Work come out and say, well, you know, annually we have X amount allocated for that. And we haven't even spend that over the course of X amount of years, right? And so we know that they have responsibility for being able to deal with these things. Is it that you need more social agitation, advocation, and some sort of this push to get you to that objective in terms of being able to do work? Mm-hmm. Or we just have to wait until somebody special come to be able to get
the
those
royal,
things?
The royal visit was on Carmichael Road.
That's what I'm trying to say. Yeah, they went to the school. Right there, right there.
You know what is very frightening, if I may say this, before you take the other callers, I know we have limited time. Yesterday I did something that I haven't done in a while. I went on the southern side of the island. I sat on the beach. I witnessed a caucus of extremely strong PLP supporters, people who have in the past gotten contracts and been very satisfied to get those contracts. These guys drive some nice cars. They live in some nice houses. They got more than one wife, okay? They got sweethearts, okay?
So don't make me choke. But, no, nobody in this country should have more than one wife.
Well, you know how these Bahamian people go. They got their own law. Progress.
Even David had a very clear indication of him being able to have wives and
concubines.
Okay, yeah. So to be very clear what you're saying, okay, talk to me.
Well, Bahamian people don't want to go to hell, so they don't say they have concubine, they got sweetheart. They say we got wife.
You can't have more than one wife. You can't have.
Of course, illusion.
It's polygamy.
The word is illusion. Today.
Okay, but so there's six times.
Okay.
You didn't just look at this illusion. Okay, so go ahead.
Stick with the script, man.
I like it. Word of the day, okay. Illusion, right?
But I'll tell you what frightened me, though. Here's a group of strong PLP men who said, I can't wait to get their backside out of here. And I said, what?
Disagreeable.
I know what it is. It's the same thing that happens before every PLP defeat. The PLPs turn on the PLP because they didn't get all, not some, not a good measure, all of what they wanted to get. They want the whole hog.
But that's the nature of the PLP.
And I'm saying to you that I would not be comfortable.
That's the conditioning.
If
in the
I
PLP.
Were the traveling prime minister or any other cabinet minister in this country at this particular time, I would not be comfortable.
That's why they
I would right now try to find a way to reel in all of my strong support, because guess what? For the first time, I'm going to say this on a national radio address.
Let me hear it.
Michael Pintard is gaining ground.
I
didn't say he did anything to get it. I never said he got anything to get
it. Stop it.
By default. I'm just saying by default. The Bahamian people do not vote you, what, Jeff?
They don't vote you.
In.
They vote you out.
They vote you what? Out.
Out.
That's all I'm saying to you. That's all I'm saying to you. And when they are ready to give you a cut skin, I use the word skin, I'm a decent man. When they're ready to give you a cut skin, what do they say? You put the what? The shirt on a pot cake, and they'll vote them in. That's just who we are. And guess what? If we do this, Howard Grant, the country's not going to go anywhere for another 10 years.
Let me take this telephone call. Caller, you on the line with us live. Go ahead. Before we get out here, go ahead.
Howard, how are you today?
I'm good, man. What's happening with you?
Okay, everything is fine. Let me direct a question at your guests. So, with all due respect to you, you are focusing directly on the government of today.
Mm-hmm.
When those same persons you say gaining ground are the ones that got us in the mess we are in today.
Mm-hmm. No disagreement. No disagreement.
Pardon me?
No disagreement with you.
I can tell you this. What I've seen from Mr. Philip Davis thus far,
mm-hmm.
I think he has done exceptionally well, because guess what? While he is traveling trying to find funding for this country, right, and to put us back on the level that we should be on, right, some of those alleged corrupt members, former members of parliament and still some members of parliament are being dragged before the court.
Okay, so let me...
Hey. I like it.
The law taking its toll.
Caller, no disrespect, but is there also allegations now of corruption?
Listen.
No, I'm asking yes or no. Is there allegations?
Yes, there are allegations. But
there are allegations, right?
We have to deal with the issue at hand right now.
No. I'm simply saying, don't be biased about
this. Those who already allegedly committed crimes are now being hauled before the court. That's what we're speaking about right now.
And I can expect that in the next 5 years, some of these people could be driving before the court.
So let me ask you one question before I leave.
Yes.
This new alleged party that's speaking about the Sovereign Wealth Fund, do they truly understand what the Sovereign Wealth Fund was created for and why it was created at the time? And they showed the figure with the $100,000 that Mr. Christie promised. Listen, that Sovereign Wealth Fund that Mr. Christie does had created, that had all to do with the oil drilling. Did we find any oil in any commodity for export?
I will say this to you.
I'm asking you, did we find any oil in any commodity for export?
It's been alleged that we have, right? But let me say this to you, Carl, right? First of all, I want to commend you. I love your articulation. I love your strong voice. I love your posture, man. And I want to give you respect for that, for being a decent man, first of all. Is that okay?
Yes, sir.
You also sound as if you love this country. Yes,
sir, I do.
Okay, you do.
It ain't all about politics all the time.
Here's what I'm saying to you and what I think the foundation has been saying to you. The very same thing that this government is being alleged about has also been alleged in the last administration and over the last 20, 30 years. It's not about a color for us here at the foundation. It's not about a party. It's about a bettering of a country. And so we're not here to beat down the government. We're not here to beat down the opposition. What we're here to do
but
is to find...
You got to find
a subtle way.
How is it he's gaining grounds when ministers all over the country gaining grounds on Pentat?
You know what?
You're wilding out, sir. I got to let you go. Now, it seems to me that they went in there and took the sheets off of the chairs and dusted off the PLP war room. It's starting up, my brother. Yeah. I just want to let you know that. That's what I... It's nothing about me.
Yep.
I like it.
Yep.
I hear for it, right? But let me see if I get the next telephone call. Caller, I got to give you 30 seconds. I can't fight you. Go ahead. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, good afternoon, Howard.
Hey, what's up, baby? All is well?
Good afternoon, dear. Yes, all is well. Mr. Goss, I love your spirit. I have a question for you. What do you think about those members who are yet to disclose, and what's your reason for why you think they have not yet exposed? I've already given Howard my reason, I think.
First of all...
Thank you, my dear.
I'm a behemoth, so you got to forgive me for flattering you, but boy, you sound sweet.
You need to stop it. You sound like a child of God.
Are you 16 or 18? Are you even legally not called the station? You know? But the whole idea, once again, is I got to go back to Howard's word, illusion.
These people,
it's almost as if they're living in a room, they're cutting off the light and saying, peekaboo, do you see me? And of course we see you. The lights may be off, but we know that you're there. And so what you're supposed to do, you've not yet done. So I'm going to say this to you, caller. During the next general election campaign, these same people are going to put their names in the hat to run again, as if we didn't remember that they didn't disclose in the first place. So guess what's going to happen now? This is why I'm saying to you, this government has to do damage control. I don't care what war room you're in. You're not an optimist. You're not an obstetrician. You're not a doctor or a psychologist to trick me, to make me believe that you're not there doing crap.
Watch me. This number eight.
The illusion will not
work.
They
may be illusionists. Let's just be able to get some things in here. Let me read these texts before we get out of here in the spirit of decency and order. Gentlemen, I thank you so much. Let me read this here. It says, Howard, get Garth off the radio now in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Says he's drinking too much honey iced tea because the F&M don't want Pentod.
What do they want?
Menace get a big backing following him. Pentod promised Garth a CD.
No.
Because he's hungry to get in that parliament. He just like Komalafe.
No. Let me answer that quick.
Hold on. Let me read the message. It said, God bitter against the PLP. God, this is what they're talking about you. You got 15 seconds, God. Let me hear.
Number one, not bitter against the PLP. I'm bitter against what's happening to our country. Number two, I was one of the first people in public media to show that Minnis was now returning as an emperor to the F&M. I did it. I was the first one in media to say that Michael Pindall was a weak leader. The reason why I'm saying what I'm saying to you is because on that same beach yesterday, the people said if Minnis ran as a leader, the F&M cannot win the next election. That's why I said it.
Let's read the next text. It says, great show, Howard. Today, the USA government should give the Bahamas a state-of-the-art hospital because we are their playground and they can get some funding from Britain. The Bahamas deserves the best for the future.
Amen.
From the mayor of Grand Bahama. Hey, Rudy, what's up with you? Let me read this next text here. This is the last text I can read. It says, I agree with you, Howard. No one is responsible for building a decent hospital other than the government to whom we pay taxes. It says, this mindset of relying on the U.S. like they are our daddy is preposterous. No one is coming to save us, the Bahamian people. Only Bahamian people can do that for themselves. It's a strong show today. Jeff, you're a good, decent man. I appreciate you, caller. You're wilding out. You know that it's 38 seconds before we get out of here.
Let me tell you why the U.S. government should do it then. Quickly. The U.S. government should help us build a hospital here. Why? Because it's their people that visit here more copiously than any other nation around the world. And anytime they get sick in our country, anytime something goes wrong in this country with their health, they go to our hospital. And I can tell you one thing. God ain't going into our hospital either. I can fly out of here like the prime minister did, eh?
You're wild enough right now, sir. Jeff, say two words before we get out of here.
I appreciate the opportunity and to speak with you, Howard and Garth. Thank you so much for all the great words you said to me. And our Bahamian people, we have a country to build. I mean, you know, push these parties aside, you know, and let's really begin to build this country.
Gentlemen, ladies, thank you so very kindly. Stick and safe for Shivago Line with Z Live. I appreciate you guys. You know, Small Business Thursdays tomorrow. If you want to be a part of that, give me a call. 827-0111. We're still chopping it down and making things happen. I look forward to seeing you tomorrow, Godspeed, right here on the Foundation. Have a beautiful day, ladies and gentlemen, and we'll see you tomorrow, Godspeed. Foundation. Foundation.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.